90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-814-3175 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aid's affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-814-3175. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-814-3175.
Well, good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to the Coach's Corner program as we get things rolling for 2017-2018 in the high school sports season. Scott Unash with you as our football preview show is getting underway here today as we're going to talk Prairie football. We're going to talk Washington football. We'll talk some Xavier football as well coming up here in just a little bit. My right-hand man for football season, Mr. John Hagerty, joining me here in studio as per usual. And great to see you again. That means football is right around the corner. We're less than 2 weeks away from kicking things off.
Best time of year, Scott, and this is 15 years for us now, so I can't believe that time's flown so fast.
15 years. There should be a patch or something on some of the fields.
Well, this is football. I don't think we'll get too sentimental.
No, but it'll be good. And great schedule that we have lined up for you this year. And we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. As I mentioned, we're going to talk and preview three of the teams today. We'll do the other four coming up next Saturday morning. And again, we'll have all these up for you on our website at kgymradio.com if you'd like to go back and listen to them, and up there on the podcast. So we do appreciate it. We get a lot of good feedback from it. And without further ado, let's get right into it. And we'll start things off talking Cedar Rapids Prairie football. The Hawks district champions last year, going 9-2. And Jim Dostal, defensive coordinator, assistant head coach, all-around good guy, joining us here in the studio in lieu of Coach Bliss. Unfortunately, Mark is back in Oklahoma. August has been tough for Mark the last couple years, hasn't it?
August has been tough. His uncle died on Monday, which he knew he was in some health care issues. But it's always tough on any family member. So good enough is we have a good staff that can kind of take over, and everybody's ups their game a little bit, and the players respond. So.
Yeah, and fill in. So, and at this time of the year, it's crucial that everybody does that because, boy, practice is it's fast and furious.
The Warriors are 2 weeks away. We know that. We understand that, and they're going to have a great
Mo's
team.
Writing down everything you say. Copious notes on that. But, well, you guys couldn't have been happier about last year. You'd like to have gone farther, obviously. That's the way it is with all high school football teams, unless you win that last one. But to get the district championship, because I think nobody saw Prairie doing that last year. And now maybe you got a bigger target on your back this year.
Yeah, we've somewhat built a small legacy, and now the reality is that we have to up our game a little bit. And obviously the schedule stays the same, but we flip home and away. And so that will be a little bit from a challenge standpoint, like going to Burlington, and we got Clinton at home. We're at Kingston the first 2 weeks. But our kids are ready to go. I think they're focused, and we have some outstanding seniors that will come in and hopefully develop. You know, the thing with high school football in all reality is it's a puzzle, and you're trying to put the pieces in place as soon as you can, but sometimes young people, and quite frankly coaching staffs, that's the reason why this district, non-district is so interesting. You can kind of mess with some pieces of your puzzle, and then when you get to week 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all of a sudden hopefully you're locked into what you're doing. So it's really right now trying to find the right pieces to put the players on the field that will help you be successful.
Mm. Often, Jim, it starts at quarterback, and you've got a returner in Dalton Rayner coming back. Talk to us a little bit about him, and then maybe who some of the other people in backfield and maybe some of your receivers offensively are going to be.
Sure. Dalton, interesting story. Dalton really played in the thick of our run for the championship or the district championship because our other quarterback got hurt. And so Dalton played the Kennedy game, started. He played the Waterloo West game, did very well. And then obviously Iowa City West, he started, and we weren't successful. But he's one. He's a captain. And by the way, all captains are selected by our team, so they're voted on by their respective team members. So that tells you something about what our team thinks about his leadership capabilities. But he's critical for us to be successful, and he's done a good job all summer. We got Levi Usher, and right now he's in San Diego for the what is it? The All-American baseball
game, perfect game. All-American game.
Yeah, that that athlete, and I say Levi Usher, he's an athlete. I mean, anything he wants to do, he can do, and it's fun seeing him have some fun. He's a real coachable kid. So, and we're kind of looking. Hopefully, he has a bunch of success in San Diego. The other thing, he's a sport guy. He doesn't play football. He's basketball and baseball. Obviously, he loves baseball. But it's fun being around those people that enjoy sports. And then we got Derek Horak, who's our defensive line, offensive line. He's a returner. Galvin Dooley, he's also a captain. So is Derek Horak. Grant Smith will be a receiver. He can catch anything. There was a time we had television cameras out last week, and he had his hand broke. But he's still running routes with a cast, and he caught everything one-handed. I was looking over there going, maybe we should just have him catch one-handed stuff. So, Shane Smith, he's out. He'll be a strong safety for us. Jaden Goetz, linebacker, defensive end. And then Spencer Williams, who played soccer, and he's a, kind of an elite soccer player. I don't know a lot about that sport, but he'll be coming and helping us with kicking, and he does a great job. So we got some promising juniors. Keegan Simmons, you'll see out there. Tyler Graham. Keegan plays outside backer and running back, and Tyler Graham plays blocking back and linebacker. So those are kind of the core right now, and then we're trying to look, like I said, that puzzle, fitting where these people will best help the team.
Yeah, and of course, you got to replace a real good running back, a couple of good running backs, and Joe Meyer was an all-stater last year, and another one of those guys kind of just jumped out of nowhere, and all of a sudden here he is on a lot of all-state teams.
Yeah, leading Joe Meyer. Who would ever think at this time a year ago he's going to be Prairie's number one rushing running back in the history of Prairie?
And there's been a lot of good tailbacks.
Yeah, and you know he's not very big. You guys saw him. He just knew how to accelerate and whatever. So I think Simpson College will find him as a little treasure if he gets some time to mature, because that's where he's going right now.
Awesome.
Jim, you've got a lot of guys that graduated last year, and so there's going to be some name proving that's going to have to go on, especially I think in the offensive line. Is that right?
Yeah. And now with the single wing and what Coach Bliss does, I mean, it helps a little bit from that inexperience standpoint, but we got some guys that are going to step up to the plate, and they're going to get opportunities. Exactly how that looks, I don't know. We run our practice a little different than most people. Like, defense is down there, and we run 9th and 10th grade. So I coach the 9th grade linebackers, believe it or not. And then we have Coach Bark that coaches the 10th grade linebacker or 10th grade linebackers. He's the D coordinator at sophomores. And then all the offensive guys coach our varsity. Then an hour and a half, we flip it. So we all coach the varsity defensive, quote, guys, and then they coach the 10th and 9th grade guys, along with our freshman and sophomore staff. So it's really interesting from that perspective. Most people have never done it that way. That's something Coach Bliss picked up from a coach about 25 years ago, and he's always kept it wherever he's gone. So at first it's kind of like, holy cow, you're coaching 3 hours, like hard. But after a while you start getting used to it a little bit.
Yeah, and there are going to be some young guys on the lines both sides. For you, they're going to have to step up pretty quickly.
You know, the district level, I think, is everybody kind of had a senior-laden team last year. And now I think, okay, it's really who can improve their juniors the most, along with improvement of the seniors, to make a run for that district championship.
Yep, and they'll be called on right away. And you mentioned Williams at kicker, and it's so key and vital to have good special teams. But if you have a kicker that you can count on, I mean, you had Drysdale before that, and now he's kicking at UNI, and so you've had a good history at least lately.
Yeah, we get a lot of, for whatever reason, our soccer program and the football program kind of work together. We had Colette last year, and he did a great job. We got a couple more kickers, Jay Smith. And so we actually have a kicking battle right now. We have three kickers that come to practice all the time and work hard. So the good news is we have competition, which raises everything up, obviously. The bad news is, you know, somebody doesn't get to kick as much as they want, but we'll figure it out as we go. It's a good problem to have.
Jim, we're a few years into the Mark Bliss regime now, and initially when he came to town, there was the single wing was going to be a novelty, and everybody was a little bit nervous about maybe preparing for that. And that first year, maybe a lot of teaching had to go on, but you're into it far enough now that it's got to be very good to know the kids coming up into the varsity program are good about those shifts that take place once they get to the line of scrimmage and all the different formations and sets that you guys use.
Sure, and I think you guys had the first game our first year with Coach Bliss. We were at Kingston against Wash, and we ran because we knew we were outmanned a little bit, so we were trying to formation Wash as much as possible. I mean, we try and make sure that people do their homework. But the kids are, you're right, we're on the other side of that curve. The first year was difficult. Not only were we installing offense, we were installing all new special teams lingo. We were installing all defensive new lingo. So kids were really getting hit up at every practice with brand new stuff. But now we're to the point where they walk in, they know what the orange formation is or they know what the gray formation is for the most part. You know, there's a little polish going on, obviously, with everything, but it's a lot easier, and it's a lot easier to make adjustments on the fly at practice now.
Well, and everybody throughout the program knows all the terminology now. And I would imagine it's probably passed down even beyond the middle school.
We allow our middle school and then any Metro Youth football programs that we service want to use it. They're more than happy to do it. So it's really kind of like your farm system, you know, for Major League Baseball. This is what we believe in. This is what we want you to teach. This is the vocabulary. Yeah, you can go off and do a little bit, because obviously those coaches want to have success. Those coaches want to game plan. Those coaches want to do some different things. As long as they stay in the framework like of the vocabulary, we're fine.
Got some I know you're going to have a scrimmage coming up.
Yep.
And it's an interesting scrimmage.
Yeah, it's a big deal for the college community. It's called the Charity Choice of Game. It's something that Mark brought with him. He's did every place, and it's really has caught on in our community. So tonight at 4 o'clock, we start the Metro Youth football kids on the field. They kind of have a 15 to 20 minute scrimmage, and every level goes up. Sophomores are at 7, varsity's at 8 under the lights. All the different people are more than welcome. You can come to the game free, but outside the gate, there's three, for no better terms, pitchers or glass holders, tanks, whatever. And you're asked to either drop a quarter in, a dollar, whatever you can afford. $5, $10 of your charity of choice. And so there's three charities that we give money directly to. The St. Jude's Children's Hospital, which is an outstanding cause for them. Camp Courageous, which everybody in Linn County knows how important that facility is for developmental disabilities and helping those individuals. And our third one is our Pause to Service Minutes. We're trying to help fundraise for an anxiety dog for a veteran. And just on Thursday, we went down to the Veterans Hospital in Iowa City just to mingle with some of the veterans that are in-house right now in a room. It was interesting. What are the odds of our seniors going down there? And one of the veterans from the Korean War and the Vietnam War, but the one that was really interesting was the one from the Vietnam War who said, I'm a Prairie grad, and I went off to Vietnam with John Wall.
Wow.
And then he started talking to the guys about what John Wall was like. I mean, that's one in a million thing. I mean, you couldn't have figured that out if you tried to. And the guy's really got some attention, and he was talking about how, you know, he's a great person, and he just didn't make it back from Vietnam. So,
wow.
By the way, for the listeners, our stadium's named after John Wall, who was in the United States Marine Corps.
Indeed. And looking good out there as well, the stadium, right now. And, well, you got Wash to open things up with, and then Jeff, you get to play two games at Kingston Stadium.
Yep, and that's on a Thursday, so that would be a quick turnaround for everybody involved. Obviously, you want to do well. That second week's normally viewed as one of the most improvement weeks for any team. You can see on video in real time exactly where you're deficient or where you're doing some good things and then build on it. So, we have some two quality opponents that we don't take lightly by any means.
Jim, you've built a great staff at Prairie, and tell us some of the names that you and Mark have put together on your staff.
Sure, and probably the first thing about this is that we have a great administration from Dr. Spear, the superintendent of schools that really support athletics, and quite frankly, the school district, to our athletic director, Rocky Bennett, is extremely helpful in anything we need. And then obviously Principal Anderson, Eric Anderson, who's a principal, and that he kind of makes the hiring for not only athletics, but the classroom. In this day and age with test scores, math, science, all those things, you got a coach is a good teacher, and a teacher is a good coach. And some people maybe disagree with that, but I'm telling you, all the coaches I know are really good teachers. You were one of them, Coach Haggerty. You did a great job in the classroom. So, and that's just the reality. But at our freshman level, we have Scott Leggett. He's our most senior coach. I don't know how old he is, but we just celebrated his birthday on Sunday, and he wasn't happy about it.
Veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran. Coach. There you go. And we have Billy Goodall that helps him as a D coordinator. Then John LaCasco, who's a more senior. He's been at a college community, I think, 32 years, if I remember right. Gabe Bark, who does an outstanding job as D coordinator. Mark Lenz is also our offense line coach then. And obviously, Coach Bliss is the head coach, offensive coordinator. Lathan Bass is our offensive line. Ashton Northern is our defensive back coach. Andrew Kemple has been a really good hire for us. Just recently, he went from halftime to full-time, so he's going to make some money finally. He's our defense line coach. Chuck Benda, we just picked up from Dubuque Senior. He's our D coordinator, and he'll be in our behavior disorder program. That's how he got in January. And then Steve Bohr, he helps with our receivers and running backs, and Brooke Peterson also helps with our receivers, and those guys are volunteers. But we have a lot of people that help out. They do a great job. And if you kind of look at the names, you're sitting there, like you said, veterans. That's code for old. I'm one of those. But then we also have younger guys like Chuck Bendis, 28 years old. Billy Goodall, he's in his 20s still. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so barely.
So we have, I guess, you know, you have some experience, and you have that enthusiasm at the same time. We have a good mix, and it seems to work. And quite frankly, the older guys kind of remember some things, and the younger guys say, well, here's kind of how we did it here or here or here. By the way, Mo, you'll like this. We got a lot of co guys. Yeah. You know?
was my position coach when I was at Coast.
Right.
I know him well.
You'll like this joke is, I probably shouldn't tell you. But
Do we need to put the delay on?
No. it's from Coach Bohr. It's radio.
Friendly. Well, it's not exactly him, but we got Gabe Bark that went to Wartburg. Great program. Wartburg has outstanding. And then we got Chuck Benda, who also played at Wartburg. So I went up there and kind of, I go, you know, Wartburg's a good junior college. What college do you guys graduate from? And they kind of looked at me like, no, but Wartburg does a great job in their athletics and academics.
Don't get the big orange, man.
Yeah, don't
man.
Want the big orange, especially against the co-op.
Well, great stuff. And we'll be there for the opener at Kingston coming up 2 weeks from last night. So should be a lot of fun. Washington Prairie have had some great games over the years.
Yeah.
So
we'll have some fun. I'm sure Mo will have all new stuff, and we'll be pulling our hair out, or what little hair we have left now.
Wishbone.
Yeah. triple O, right?
Yeah. Triple option,
no wishbone. Well, great stuff, and we'll let you now take all the notes you can on when Mo's talking about Washington coming up. But, Jim, great to see you again, and we'll see you couple Fridays from now.
Thank you. We appreciate all the things you do for high school football, especially in time where there's a lot of pushback covering us.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, more of the high school football previews here on the Coach's Corner coming up right after this.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Your mind is a blank slate as you enter total relaxation. Safe driver, paperless, multi-car. They are wrapping their savings around you. Like the tinfoil that wraps around your hot dog at a ball game, which for some reason costs $12.50.
Switch to Progressive and surround yourself with savings. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-375-7751. That's 1-800-375-7751.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-814-2162. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-814-2162. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-814-2162.
Back with you at 9:22, Saturday morning Coach's Corner here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today as our football previews get underway. And again, we'll have these up for you online at KGYMradio.com. Scott Unash and John Hegarty with you here in studio and talked Prairie football. And now we're going to talk Cedar Rapids Washington football. The Warriors also district champions last year, part of the three-way tie. And Washington got the district championship nod, if you will, and got the home game in the first round and made it all the way to the Dome and the semifinals before dropping one to Iowa City West. And new regime, I guess. The old is new, or the veteran is new. But, yeah, Mo Blue taking things over here at Washington from Paul James, and he's joining us here in our studios. And congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How's it been? Like you thought it would be?
And Coach Dostal can attest to this. When you become a head coach for the first time, you know, going into it, you think you know, we'll do this and this will be great. And this, the level of things you didn't know about, like the little stuff, you know, having to be the one to deal with the parent groups and the media stuff and all of that. There's a lot to it. It's like all week. I don't think I've gotten school around 6 or 6:30, and I haven't gotten back to my house until about 7 or 7:30. Just always working on. There's always something that needs to be done, which, you know, for me, it's not a big deal. I don't mind doing that stuff, but you know, a couple of my wife and kids would like to see me. They don't need to see me a whole lot, but they want to see me at least an hour, maybe 90 minutes a day, which has been kind of tough. So I have to do a better job of prioritizing my time and making sure I can get home to them so we can at least see each other a couple hours a day anyway. Especially in the summer, school hasn't even started yet. And I'm not home, so.
Well, that's kind of the way it goes in the name of the game.
Oh yeah, and my wife's great about it. So anybody that's friends with my wife, can you make sure she's in Omaha right now for our niece's birthday party? So I don't know if she's going to hear it. So tell her I said nice things about her, please.
We will do that. And historic things, and I'm sure you've heard this about a million times, but being the first African-American coach in Cedar Rapids, and I know you got to have a sense of pride about that a little bit, but then again, it's just, okay, as you put it in the paper, I'm another football coach, and here we go.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you don't want to downplay it, because for some people it is a big accomplishment, and that's not lost on me by any means, but you know, luckily I haven't gotten the question like Doug Williams did. So how long have you been an African-American coach? Well, I've been that for 22 years, so you know, that's not a new thing, but you know, is it a big deal? I think it depends on your perspective. For me, it's just been, you know, just a process, you know, from, you know, starting as a volunteer running back linebacker coach and being able to work my way up the chain. That was more important to me, I mean, than, you know, being the first, you know. I mean, I've grown up in Cedar Rapids, so, you know, in my entire life, I've always been one of very few anyway. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to elementary school at St. Matt's, and we had two African Americans in the building. It was me and my brother. So, you know, I've been used to being one of very few. So I don't think about it that much. It's not like it's a huge deal, but it is and it isn't, I guess, is the best way to say it. In terms of coaching football and, you know, teaching young men how to play and get better and become better at life. You know, and that's even in Coach Dostal will attest to that. That's more important than, you know, being a good person's a heck of a lot more important than being a good football player. If you can be both, that's awesome. But if you got to choose, you better be a way better person than you are a football player at the end of the day. And, you know, that's one of those things I think, because, you know, I like winning and I'm aggressive about it and I'm loud about it and I push. But at the end of the day, that's always been the bigger deal. And that's always the bigger deal for any coach. Mm-hmm. As much as they might push and drive and get on kids, it's not because we don't like them. You know, what we're getting on, I heard Coach Arian say this. I was watching that All or Nothing
He's like, if I get on you, I'm not getting on you as a person. I'm getting on you about your football. Your football's bad. Not you. You're a great guy, but your football. And then we had that talk with the team. It's like, if we get on you, it's not about you as a person. It's about you as a football player, your football. We got to get your football better. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of things. It's been crazy. This week, hopefully after this, it starts settling down a little bit from, you know, all the media stuff. But, you know, and then we can just get back to coaching football, which is really what the fun part is.
Well, Mo, your hire as head coach at Washington is very well earned through all your years of loyalty as an assistant coach. And I dare say nobody probably knows Washington and Washington football better than you do. But let's start talking a little bit about offense, although I'm guessing you're going to probably still call defense. Let's talk a little bit about Wash's offense.
You know, offensively, we have some parts back. You know, a great place to start. We have 3 out of 5 of our offensive linemen back. We have our 2 tackles, Andrew Todd and Nolan Potter. They're back playing their same positions. And we have our center, Jared Sherman, back. We lost 2 good guards with Peter Grubel and Gary Ault. Gary Ault's, you know, he's down at Iowa State now, and Peter Grubel's at Stetson University out in Florida. So we lost 2 pretty high-level football players, and we got to find guys to replace them right now. We got about 3 guys we're looking at to replace those 2. One's a senior, Brock Stewart, who's just worked his tail off and just he wants to do such a good job, you know, for his teammates and earn that spot. Then we have 2 juniors in the mix as well with Ben LaGrange and Parker Malone, who are doing a good job, you know. And the crazy part is we don't have to be that hard on that group. They're so hard on themselves. We got to pull the reins back on them because, you know, if someone makes a mistake, you know, one of the older guys will let them know. So, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, let the coaches be the one to make the harsh corrections because we know how to come back and get it positive again. You guys stay positive with each other. And, you know, that was early, you know, they're kids. They know what we've done the last several years, and they don't want to drop the ball on their watch. So, it's like, we got to go. And, you know, sometimes, you know, age is a heck of a thing for perspective. It's like, guys, relax. We're fine. He took a bad 6-inch step. It's not the end of the world. We can get that fixed. But, you know, that's a good thing, too. You know, you want to tell them to relax. But, you know, secretly, you're kind of smiling. Like, yeah, they're holding each other accountable. They're going to make each other toe the line. So that's been awesome. You know, offensively, how much we change. I guess that's a matter of perspective. When, you know, as a coach, you've grown up basically in one system, like what we did while Coach James was there. I mean, I know that like the back of my hand, you know, but when it's yours, you know, there's things, okay, we can do this a little differently and that a little differently. I don't want to get it. See Coach Dossel with his pen, with the paper. I don't want to give too much up, but it really doesn't matter because it's the first game of the year and we can know what each other are going to do. And it still doesn't matter because kids are going to be kids and it's the first game of the season. And like he said, there's mistakes galore and you got to fix them for week 2, but you know, offensively, I mean, we want to be balanced. You know, we got our quarterback back from last year with Brian Cundy, who had a good junior year, and he's put pressure on himself. He wants to step it up another notch from the previous year. And, you know, then after that, we're looking at a lot of new starters. We got 2 new starters at wide. We'll have 2 new starters at wide receiver. I guess we have our tight end, Parks McBride, started last year. But he's done a good job of getting himself better. But he fancies himself more of a defensive player anyway, which I like. So, I mean, I'm a little biased to that. But, you know, with our skill guys, we're going to have a lot of new guys, a new fullback. You know, Ben Nassif is gone. So JoJo McBride, who was able to start a few games last year and played quite a bit, you know, rotating basis. I mean, he's the main guy at fullback now. Tailback, we had 2 seniors last year. They're both gone. You know, so we got to get that replaced. Haven Henningsen right now, he's the clubhouse leader. We thought he would be our starter last year, but the day before, the Sunday before we started camp last year. He was playing, just screwing around, playing basketball at his house. Real bad high ankle sprain, and it slowed him down all year. So he was never able to get on track. We thought he'd be pretty special last year, and he's worked even harder in the off season and throughout the summer. And he's looking really good. He's very, very, very versatile. I mean, we can do a lot of different things with him. Whether we put him out in the slot, motion him from the backfield, get him out and, you know, get him the ball. I mean, he could be just as good a wide receiver as he is a tailback. You know, not that I want to compare him to Le'Veon Bell, but it's that type of situation where he does a lot of different things. He can run inside the tackles. He can bounce it. He can line up wide, run a nine route. He can run the short underneath stuff and make something happen. So there's a lot of stuff we can do with him. And right now, you know, the struggle for Coach Wood and Coach Sherman is to figure out different ways to use him. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. We're doing a co-offensive coordinator thing between Frank Sherman and Jason Wood. Now that our district is a 7-period day in the high school and they have to teach an extra class now, I know how I was as a coordinator and how much time went in, and I didn't have to teach anything. So I know how much time I put into it, and it is unrealistic. Like Coach Dossel was saying, good coaches are usually really good teachers. These guys are really good teachers too. So there's not enough hours in a day. So the thought was by them being able to divide that work, they could, you know, be more productive and get done what we need to get done. And I told them, I was like, listen, I'm not going to have a whole lot of stuff to give you offensively. I'm going to let you go. But then every time I say that, it's like, hey, how about you guys look at doing this? How about you guys look at doing that? And I think the first time I said it, Frank's eyes kind of rolled back. He's like, yeah, right. You're going to be in our business all the time. I'm trying not to. I feel like I've been staying back. But once a game starts, I don't know what'll happen. But they're doing a really good job. And, you know, it's been weird because the hire was kind of late. If you think about it in the football world in March, when I was also coaching track too. So like our staff, it's kind of a new staff. We didn't get the opportunity to go to any clinics and have that, you know, staff time to get to know each other and figure out how people work. So we kind of been doing it over the summer, and right now we're getting to a really good place. Took a little work. We there's maybe some disagreements here and there and how we want to do stuff and how we want, you know, what we want to do, how we want. But now we're all starting to get on the same page because everybody's in a new role. Even though I'm the one still calling the defense, I got other responsibilities added too. Frank and Jason, they've been there, but they're in different roles with different things. So, you know, you got to figure out how those new roles and new people, we got to mesh them together. And it's going good. It's actually going really good right now. So we're very quickly all getting on the same page with things, which is really important because we can't expect the kids to be on the same page if we can't get on the same page. So hopefully they haven't noticed much. It's probably one of those things. It looks worse to us than it does to them. They don't, you know, they're kids. They don't like listening to us anyway, so they just do their thing. So,
well, and the defensive side of the ball, which you love, and you're still going to call the defense, as you mentioned. You got two young corners you put out there last year.
Yeah.
They're back. Parks McBride, Seth Semrau, a linebacker, is a real good one. Had another good one, unfortunately, moved away with Travis Metzger. So I know that was a big hole you didn't think you were going to have to fill.
Yeah, you know, with the seniors we had lost from the defense the year before, that was a big enough hole. You know, when you lose an All-State defensive lineman, an All-State linebacker, an All-State free safety, all on the same team and they're gone, that's a big hole in and of itself. And then a couple other all-district guys, three other all-district guys thrown in there. That's a lot of guys to lose, and that's hard enough. But then one of the guys you're supposed to get back who started 12 games is now gone. I mean, the family had a great opportunity with some new job opportunities, and they took them. And unfortunately, I talked to Travis's parents. I was like, I wish you were the kind of family that would just tell Travis, ah, you could go ahead and stay. We'll and finish high school. But they're not that kind of family. And that's a good thing. I mean, they're together. So unfortunately, that cost us Travis. And I mean, I told Travis, we wish him the best luck. And we hope he's successful at his new school, which he will be, because the loss as a football player is pretty big. But Travis was just such a great kid. You couldn't be too hard on him, because he could take it. His dad coached him coming up in basketball, so he knew how coaches work with his dad being a coach. And he just worked so hard and did everything he asked. And he was just such a good kid and role model for the younger kids, because Travis really did a great job of going about his business, you know, how he carried himself out off the field and in school, you know. So that was a big loss, but we wish him luck. But you know what? We got to move on, unfortunately.
Yep, and Parks McBride's a good one.
Yeah, Parks came a long way. I mean, he started, you know, 12 games on and played, I'd say, about 90% of the snaps last year that we played defensively, and got better every week. He's had a great offseason, and I mean, it'd be hard to find a more dedicated guy to wanting to make himself better than Parks right now, because I mean, he's a guy didn't miss. I mean, I don't know if he missed more than one or two weight room sessions from last December through when we got done in the summer. So, he rescheduled. He made his parents reschedule vacations because he wasn't going to miss and stuff like that. So, and they're very supportive of what he wants to do too. So that helps as well. But yeah, he's good. We have high hopes for him. The big thing he had to get better at was being a little more stout against the run, which, you know, that comes with weight, which he put on. So I'm anxious to see. We're getting ready to scrimmage here in a little bit. So when we get back, I'm anxious to see live how much better he's gotten. But so far, what we've seen, it's been very good out of him. So.
Speaking of losses, it sure be nice to have another year of Drew Dostal on the team, and especially as a punter. So you're going to have to look to replace that. But it's got to be awful good knowing that Andrew Hammer's coming back taking care of the kicking chores.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, right now, Andrew is in France. He told me a while back, Coach, I'm going to be gone the first week. I'm going to still be in France. Yeah, yeah. I forgot about it. I just, with everything going on, I forgot he told me that. So Coach Graham, our soccer coach, and Andrew's also a soccer player, I was like, hey, do you know what's going on with Hammer? I tried calling him. He's like, he's in France. And I just slapped my head. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Then I talked to Coach Graham yesterday. Then at 5 o'clock last night, I get a call. It's Andrew Hammer calling me from France. It's like, hey, Coach, I'm back on Tuesday. I'll be at practice on Tuesday. Don't worry about it. It's like, okay. I said, my fault. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot you told me. So yeah, having him back, you know, defensively, he's awesome because of field position, being able to have a guy that can put it in the end zone off the kickoff, and then, you know, as much as he can, is being able to start defense from the 20 with 80 yards to defend is an awesome thing. Then also as a place kicker, you know, where's he going to be good from? It's hard to say. He's pretty good from the 40 in. He's got a pretty good leg. He's tipped it out. He's, you know, from the 45, about 50-50. He has hit one. I think he hit one in practice last year, about 58 or so.
He had a couple of 40-yarders in the playoff game last year.
Oh, yeah. Hammer has the greatest name for a kicker ever, Hammer. I mean, he can just hammer the ball. So,
does Cundy take over the punting chores?
Maybe. We'll see. Maybe it'll be Cundy. Maybe it'll be someone else.
Or just don't punt, you know.
Well, that would be my
Tony
number
said,
one.
We don't punt.
punting to me, I got this. I heard this from another coach. You know, punting is offensive failure. You know, too often offenses just, oh, we didn't get a first down, let's just punt. Defensively, when we fail, you know, the other band's playing, and it's not a good feeling. In offense, it seems like they don't have that sense of urgency. So, you know, being a defensive guy, and Coach Dostal can attest, you better not punt. Don't punt. Don't punt. We punt too much. So hopefully we don't have to punt. So maybe it's something we'll never have to worry about. But I got a feeling week one, there's going to be some punts, just because there's going to be some punts. Because, you know, defensively, Prairie, they're so sound. Prairie's one of the few teams that does things in the back end similar to the way we do things. And that's just because Coach Dossel's experience, I'm sure he brought that with him from Co. Just a little higher level than the, you know, cover three is, you know, everybody pays cover three a million different ways. And it's just, we play it maybe a little differently than everybody else does. And I'm sure between the two of us, we're a little different as well. But there's a lot of similarities, and they're going to be tough. The defensive end, 44 from last year. I watched film on him. Oh, my. And I know he's back. And trust me, the week we play Prairie, Andrew Todd's going to see that film, and he's going to hear about it. And just to remind him, hey, you better be ready. This guy can play. And then, you know, Prairie just in general, it's like they're the worst first game you could ask for because of the, you know, the uniqueness of their offense. They do so many things. And it's hard enough to play in week seven. I think Coach Bliss's first year we played in week seven, and they ran some formation we didn't even see on film. And I'm pretty meticulous about film. I'll watch everything. I mean, I want to see everything. I don't like getting caught off guard. And they caught us off guard several times. I was like, the kids are like, how do we line up to this? I need a second to think about this. But, you know, when you run a unique offense and plus you're a good coach, it equals a hard time for a defense. So, you know, there's – I'd rather play, like, not because I think – they're not as good as Prairie. I'd rather play Kennedy because at least I know what Kennedy is. There's a little familiarity there, you know, offensively and defensively. It's like we joke with the Kennedy coaches when we play each other. It's just an inter-squad scrimmage. We're on the same offense, same defense, you know, a lot of the same stuff. So,
Coach White's a co-guy.
Coach White's a co-guy. A lot of co-guys in the Metro. There's a lot of co-guys in the Metro. You know, it always boils down to co.
Oh, man. Well, a couple things before we move on here. Number one, you mentioned a few guys out of your staff because you made some changes, obviously. So just kind of go over that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say changes. It was just more. It was additions. So you know, on the varsity staff, Coach Sherman, Coach Callahan, and Coach Davis, they've been with us for years, and we changed some roles. Like Coach Callahan's still coaching our quarterbacks. Coach Davis was coaching our old line, but to make room, we switched his position. Now he's going to coach my old positions, so I really don't have a position anymore. So he's coaching our running backs and our linebackers. Then Coach Faulkner, who has been on staff forever, he had to take a step back, more of a once-a-week game-time volunteer assistant. He wants to get more back into the fold, so he's going to coach our tight ends and our D-line. So those guys have kind of been around. Then what we took Jason Wood, who was our sophomore coach for 4 or 5 years. I can't remember when he got there exactly. Actually, it's been longer than that, maybe about 6 or 7. And he's a really good coach. We brought him up to coach our O-line and co-coordinate the offense with Frank. Then Diedrich Ward was on our staff last year. He's a former Warrior. He was on our freshman staff last year. We brought him up to the varsity to coach our receivers, and he helps out with the DBs. You know, it's kind of nice having a guy with a Super Bowl ring on your staff. It's kind of cool to have a guy on your staff. Now you're one degree of separation from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, and he has some great stories. We can talk about those later. He has some great stories about Coach Parcells. I mean – and I'm a Giants fan, so you tell me Belichick or in Parcells, I'm all ears. I want to hear everything. So that's fun to have him around. Then we have one other coach, new coach on the varsity, Anthony Carfagna. He's actually a neighbor of mine. He used to be the sophomore defensive coordinator at Linmar, and he gave it up. And I was like, and he's from Youngstown, Ohio originally, so he's got a little grit to him. And he works at Rockwell. Unfortunately, he hadn't missed the whole first week of practice because of a issue out in Portland, Oregon. So he had to go out to Portland for the week and deal with some stuff. So we got him back. He's at practice right now, and he's going to coach our DBs, and he's doing a nice job with that because he thinks the same way I do about leverage and how to teach corners and safeties. So that's been a good hire for us. Then on the sophomore staff, we have a new head coach, Travis Fuller, the former Marion Indian, former co-guy, another co-guy, although he finished at Wartburg, so he's kind of a in-betweener. Then he's been a sophomore. He was a sophomore coach at – he was coach at Marion for 20 years. So, being able to get him, we tried to get him last year, but we weren't able to. He committed to coaching at Jefferson. So then when he decided to leave that, we just kind of ran into each other, and I talked him into helping us out. Then helping him will be Chris Shannon. He's brand new. I just met him this summer. He was our head sophomore baseball coach. He's going to call the defense for him. Then Coach Jason McShane, who Coach Fuller coached with at Jeff, we brought him on board to help out defensively. Then we have our special sophomore assistant, Kelly O'Rourke, who's one of our varsity baseball coaches. I'm saying special assistant because he gave up his contract because he's working on his master's in administration, and his time commitment wasn't going to be there, but we'll have him on Friday nights helping out. Then our freshman staff, we got a former Warrior with Jordan Youngs in his second year as our head freshman coach. And the difference from year one to year two with him has been awesome. He kind of got thrown into the mix to be a head coach last year. And this year, he's really taking it on and taking control of that whole level. He's doing a great job. Then he's assisted by John Gianforte, who wanted to go down to be with work with Coach Young. They worked together previously on the freshman staff when Coach G was the freshman coach, and he's running. We couldn't ask for any more as a program to have Coach Gianforte down there with our freshmen coaching our freshman defense, and the attitude and stuff you need to play defense. Then we have Joel Gasway, who's another former Wash player assisting down there. Then also we got a new guy, Scott Halapua, who's on our wrestling staff. And he coaches our fifth grade Metro team. So to have that direct line, and he can take what we're doing at Wash down to the Metro levels is awesome. So it's a pretty good staff. They're great guys, and they love working with kids and helping kids get better. So, really, that's the name of the game anyway.
Yep, indeed. And we'll let you go, and we'll see you in that first Friday night of the year against Prairie over at Kingston. And then of course, down the line on September 14th, and that's going to be a little different night with Lindmar and Wash going at it.
Well, it's just Lindmar and Wash, though. What's new about that?
First, I tell you, I'm going to do a triple take the first time I see PJ in black and red.
We did 7-on-7 with him. It just doesn't look right. it just doesn't look. You look, and it's like, when we talked, he gave me a hug, and we were talking, and I was like, I'm just thinking in the back of my head, this isn't right. I mean, I'm used to seeing this guy every day. Now you see him like every couple weeks, and it's just weird, But Lindmar got a good one there, and he'll help get them where they want to be, from a program perspective, so. It'll be a little different. It'll be a little different on the 14th.
Yes, it will be. Well, thanks for stopping by. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks for having me, and thanks for everything you guys do. I know my wife, there's times that she can't get to a game because of our kids or they got something, and she loves listening to you guys call games, so keep it up.
Well, we love the listening audience.
There you go.
All right. We will take a break, come back, and we'll talk some Xavier football with you here on our football preview show on the Coach's Corner. So stay with us. More to come right after this.
Guys, get to JCPenney and save big on select items throughout the store. Find great brands like Levi's 502 regular fit jeans for $39.99. Or get 25% off select styles of Nike tees, shorts, shoes, and backpacks. Also, check out our great selection of men's big and tall sizes. And download the JCPenney app for even more savings. Hurry, sale ends Saturday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. See store at jcp.com for details. Season refers to 8-9 to 8-12.
Everyone wants to know what you're going to do with your life, but how do you know until you try? You might be great at something you've never had a chance to do.
That's why Built by Pros has internship and apprenticeship programs.
These are opportunities for you to get real with hands-on learning that can kickstart your future.
There are hundreds of careers with local building trades and commercial contractors.
Find out more about how you can earn while you learn.
Join our team at Built by Pros.
Check out builtbypros.com.
Builtbypros.com.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City, driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips this summer. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
DePaco Community Credit Union can change your current money picture into a bright green future by sleuthing savings from your current finances. Save face by scheduling a money makeover now. Learn more at DUPACO.com.
Back in the Saturday Morning Coach's Corner, as our football previews continue, we'll have four more coaches in coming up next week, and get ready for the season kickoff, which will be coming up. It's right around the corner, 2 weeks from last night, and that will be the first night of the season. Pair of games coming your way on KGYM. We will have Prairie and Washington, and then we will also have Xavier down at Regina. And speaking of that, Dwayne Schulte, the head coach of the Xavier Saints, the dean of the Metro Coaches, joining us here in studio. And great to see you. The summer was short, and I hope you got some good quality time with Reggie and Bryce and Quinn and Hope before they all went their separate ways.
Yeah, it was really, really fast, and same with you and your kids, Ryan and Aaron. But, the thing I found was that we had a week off of school last fall because of the potential flood, and then that's dragged into the last week of the school year, so that kind of took away some of the time at the end. So to me, at least, that's what kind of made the summer really, really short. But yeah. Time just seems to get faster, and the older you get anyway.
Should start off with the fact Xavier's welcoming in a new athletic director who is a former football coach, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, up at Esterville. So so he knows of where you come from, correct?
Yeah, Andy Umptham, he's been great so far. And he certainly knows not just the football side of things, but seems to know everything in terms of what being an AD is all about. So we're excited to have him.
Awesome. And before we look at this year, last year, of course, another terrific season, and I know it didn't end the way you wanted it to, but and I can't speak for John, but I think that was one of the greatest games that we've ever called, that semifinal against Pella. I mean, it was back and forth, and too bad it wasn't in the final. That was the only bad part, and also, of course, you guys not coming out on top, but what a game it was.
Yeah, that's what people say fan-wise. It was a fun thing to watch. During the game itself, you're not really focused on that. You're just trying to win and get the next first down or stop them. But, it was horrible way to end, but I guess that happens.
Lost a lot of seniors off of that great team last year, Dwayne. And as you look at, maybe we'll start with offense here, you've got to replace a lot of bodies. And I'm guessing that Quinn Schulte probably be moved to quarterback. But talk to us a little bit about some of the names that we'll be calling a lot this year when we cover your games. And in addition to that, just some of the things, guys that are looking good for you right now, even though this is very early in the season.
Yeah, well, we got to replace Malachi, which is a tough task. He had a lot of yards and was a really good football player. But Jax Jung, he's really doing well. He's running hard, fast. He's on our 4x1 team. He's faster than Malachi's, straight ahead speed. He's got some development to do, otherwise reading blocks and so forth. But he's come along, and really, really excited for him. Jacob Hines will probably be going both ways for us at tight end and defensive end, and he got some experience last year. And Jack Lemke played a lot of linebacker for us last year, but he'll probably be some fullback and H-back tight end type of stuff for us this year. Jack Scott got a lot of reps at QB last year and some mop-up time, but he's a very athletic kid that'll probably be a split-end receiver for us. Gabe Lux, a baseball player, a good shortstop athlete on that state championship basketball team. He's going to probably be a receiver for us. And then our offensive line, those guys, it kind of reminds me of 2007, where in 2006 our juniors got beat on by a really, really good group of seniors. And it kind of happened with these guys last year in practice. They got a really good look every day. And so we're hoping that prepares these guys for this year. They got a lot of work to do, like we all do, but we're trying to figure out the puzzle for those, front five, six guys, and we're still working on that. But hopefully, we'll get it figured out.
Well, Malachi was terrific at tailback last year, but he would give his first kudos to the offensive line. But the fullback is also such a big key in your offense, and you've had so many good ones over the years. And I know you want to develop one of those guys as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. We've got like three or four or five guys in the mix that hopefully can develop. Joey Drazel, Colin Yanga, Jack Lemke, even a little Jax Jungi perhaps, Thomas Tobin. So, hopefully out of all those guys, we find someone to rise to the top and perform like Eric Rodriguez did last year and other guys in the past.
As we were preparing for our interview today, Dwayne, I was thinking about your offense. And how teams stop it. It wasn't very easy for people to stop you last year. I think you averaged about 42 points a game. So a lot of success that way. And, you have such good fundamentals that you teach your kids, too. But in recent years, I've kind of noticed a little trend where you're kind of breaking the mold, so to speak, and coming out some different formations, spreading more people out on the field. And how's that all come about? Have your boys played maybe a factor with that? Can we look forward to some more of that from the Saints this year?
Well, I'm old enough to remember, John, when Hayden Fry was around. Do you remember him?
Scratch where it itches.
And that's kind of, what you end up trying to do. Seriously, all we're really trying to do is get first downs and hopefully get enough where you get down close enough to score. And depending on what our kids can do personnel-wise and what we see defensively. And really it all boils down to the offensive line, what they can block. And if they can execute certain things, and that's the kind of stuff that we're going to try to, get done in the game.
Is this a big offensive line? Big is relative, I think. You've never had huge offensive lines, but you've had always athletic offensive lines.
Yeah, I'd say they're very similar to last year, in terms of size and athleticism and that kind of stuff, yeah.
Then the defensive side of the ball. Coach O'Connell does a terrific job over there as well as the rest of the coaches, but a lot of guys to replace. You mentioned you got a Lemke back. Hines back, who played a little bit last year, but that's about it. I mean, the rest of the cupboard was pretty bare.
Well, we got Quinn back, too. He's probably going to go both ways, so he started last year on defense, too. So, but, yeah, we got a bunch of guys that hopefully are hungry to come in and, make some noise and, execute.
Your defensive line and your linebacking crew always find a way to come up and just make life miserable for offenses. And Coach, you've told us many times that Coach O'Connell has a lot to do with that, but who are some of the people that you think we're going to be racking up solos and assists with this year? Can you pinpoint any names for us at this early point?
Well, that's a great question, John. We've got some guys that are developing right now, and Coach Jelinek's with us. He's our D-line coach, and you talk about fundamentals. That guy knows what he's doing, and so we're really blessed to have him over there with that front four. And Cole Gertz, a senior that's looking at a defensive end spot, and Drew Ties is a senior that's maybe going to be a D-tackle for us, that he looks pretty good right now. And Kyle Krizik is a junior that's really, really good-looking kid and plays tough. He's a wrestler and hangs out with Coach Chambers a lot, so that's good. He went up to Dave Malachick's camp in Wisconsin, I guess was just a beast. So, those guys kind of are the front liners right now in the front four. Johnny Bell is a junior that just has a motor that doesn't quit. And hopefully out of those four or five guys, we get some guys. And there's guys challenging them. I don't have a roster in front of me, but there's guys challenging them, too, that are going to push them. So, defensively, linebacker starts with Lemke. He's got the experience, and hopefully he's just been a tutelage guy under Nick Garland, who played for us in 2009. He's turned into a great young coach, and so he's paying attention to Nick and what he has to say. And then Bo Van Berken played a lot for us last year, too, and got some quality minutes. So he'll be back as a rover/linebacker guy. And then we're going to try to find some spots to fill in those other two with some guys that, hopefully can rise up. And defensive back-wise, guys are fighting for spots. But, Gabe Lux is in the mix, and Brandon Servi, and Quinn's going to be playing somewhere. Got him missing guys, but we're still trying to sort it all out. But some good kids that are fighting for it.
Yeah, and good athletes, too. Yeah. Guys that played on the basketball team, baseball players. You mentioned some wrestlers in there, some track guys. So, as they say, iron sharpens iron. You get good at one sport, and another sport's going to help you.
Yeah, I've been doing this with you guys for at least 23 years, and you've heard me say it many times that we like multi-sport athletes. You get used to the competition, and hopefully you're used to being under the bright lights. And and then you don't get stale either. I think those kids that just do one sport all year round, I mean, even though it's good to practice your craft, you need a little break too. I mean, I like guys that are doing two, three, four sports because it keeps you fresh. And you can still practice your craft at those other sports. That's what I try to do with our own kids. But at least it keeps you fresh and looking forward to something new.
That's sound wisdom. Special teams-wise, you've got to replace a kicker and a punter. How are those chores coming out?
Yeah, right now our kicker looks like it's going to be Ben Conrad, who was a junior that kicked for the sophomores last year, and he's doing a great job. He was down at Nate Kading's camp this summer and got special recognition or mention or something, and he's a soccer player, and our soccer guys do really well. But he's not just a kicker, too. He's a tough kid that can play at multiple positions. So, we got to replace Shane Scott, who had some big field goals in that up in the dome. But hopefully Ben can do it, and we got a couple, three guys fighting for the long snap position, and looks like Bryson Bastion will be our holder right now. And punting wise, we're down to like four guys right now. So
we'll see. Don't have to punt it, you don't have to worry about.
Well, I just said that to Coach Jelinek the other day. Hopefully that's the case, but it's a fight right now. So we're gonna see. It's down to about four guys, and hopefully the cream rises to the top.
Well, and you've always had great numbers throughout the program. Is that the case this year? Are you happy with that?
Well, we'll have about 63 on the varsity, I think, so that's down a little bit. And then our freshmen, sophomores are down a little bit too, about 25 a class. So, but I guess that's the nature of the beast around other places too. The numbers are down a little bit. So, but they'll fight and they'll compete, and our younger coaches they've been around forever, and they know what's going on under Coach Kalik with the sophomores and Coach Malloy with the freshmen. So, hopefully they'll keep doing what they've been doing. Last year, until that Pella game, was the first year in the history of Xavier where every division went undefeated. So those younger coaches, they know what's going on.
Well, we take a look at your schedule here, and guess who's lurking there to start off? Like most years, you don't get any way of just kind of easing into the schedule. Regina's waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost some kids too, but I watched their younger kids, and they got some big boys coming back. They got some athletes too. The Volstead kids, really athletic. So what can you say about the coaching staff? They know everything. So we really got our work cut out for us that first game.
Yeah, and then you get in the other non-district game, you get to go up against Coach James again with Lindmar now.
Yeah, talk about deans of the metro area. I mean, I think really he's the dean, but he's a wily, crafty veteran that will figure something out over there. So with the amount of kids they have and the facilities they have, I mean, it's going to be something for them probably.
Yeah, and this district, a lot of teams with a lot of individuals coming back. Benton's got most of their skill guys coming back, and Decorah is always going to be Decorah. So, you got to have the chin straps tightened each week this year again.
Yeah, Coach Goodchild at Benton Community will pour boy us and tell you how horrible they're going to be, but their skill guys are good, and they got a couple of linemen that are good too. They're big boys, big farm boys we saw out there last year, so they'll be tough. And Decor is always tough, too, up there in northeast Iowa. I can't remember the name of the kid, but they got a running back, defensive back that runs hard. This kid's good, and he's back. Waverly Shell Rock will be solid again, like always. And, South Tama had some athletes that were really good, and kind of missing. I can't think of who else is in the district right now, but it's a solid district, that's for sure.
Yep. You're only worried about Regina right now, though.
pretty much. Yeah.
I got to ask, is it tougher? You got to blow the whistles a little harder now with the with Highway 100 going through right by the practice field?
I thought it would be, actually, Scott, but it's not. It really hasn't been that much of a distraction. It was more of a distraction when they were building it the last couple of years. It was kind of funny to watch some of the crew when we're out there, pushing the sled and so forth. They'd take a break and look at us. But it's not. It really hasn't been that much of a distraction, and the noise isn't that bad either. It's not as bad as I thought it'd be. And if you've ever driven past that, I used to think, oh, boy, people drive by and scout us out and look at what we're doing. And But you get by there in like a second and a half, so you don't really have a whole lot of time.
You don't see anyone with a video camera out holding out the window in the back seat or
anything like that.
So.
We have heard some motorcycle guys go by, though.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
they're
getting that revved up every once in a while. You can hear their ring, ring, ring. But I don't think those guys are paying any attention to us. They're popping wheelies.
How about staff? Pretty much intact again this year?
Yeah, pretty much. In fact, it is. So Jim O'Connell's with us in the varsity. Nick Garland. Nick Perkins is helping us this year. Came over from Independence and Marion, a longtime Perkins family, and he's doing great. Coach Jelinek is with us again. Coach Gilmore played for us in 2006. He's awesome. Ben Helms is playing for us, our center, coaching for us. He plays in 2012 with Reggie in that group. So, really good with the varsity guys. It's awesome. And our sophomores are Fred Cadlick is the head coach. He's a mentor to me. Really can't say enough about him. And Dan Halter, one of our baseball coaches and the athletic director at Regis, has helped with the sophomores. And then my brother Daryl's helping with the sophomores too. So it's awesome. And the freshmen got the same crew that I'm blessed to have them. Kevin Molloy for years down there done great. And Tom Lilly, you know, what do you say about that? Four-time state champion basketball, but he's just as into football. It's awesome to watch him coach football, and we're really blessed to have him with the O-line and D-line down there, and Ryan Chambers is helping the freshmen too, our head wrestling coach, so you know, it's really a blessing to have guys of that quality with those groups.
Well, Dwayne, back by popular demand, I've had several of our listeners request that I do the Dwayne Schulte lightning round again, so I'm down from 10 questions to 5 this year, so I'm going to go easy on you, okay?
But these are 5 fantastic question.
Okay, several. Well, we're going to call this the Fast 5.
Several of your listeners. Okay, yeah.
So here's first one. Coach Schulte's all-time favorite Notre Dame Fighting Irish football player or coach?
Oh, wow. Well, coach, you probably got to say Newt Rockne, right?
There you go.
Yeah, but a little shout-out to Eric Parsegian, who passed away this week. That's too bad. Love the movie Rudy. Yeah, they was portrayed in that, so... all-time favorite player, boy, that's a tough one. I'll go with the Bergmeyer kid from Dubuque Wallard. How about that?
There you go. Local.
He was a tough kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Number two, Reggie Schulte is a senior quarterback for Mark Farley's Panthers at UNI. But what position will Bryce Schulte play for Kirk Ferentz at Iowa?
Boy, that's a good question. They're having him come down as preferred walk-on as an athlete slash tight end slash linebackers, so you know, we'll see how it all works out. We're excited for him. He hasn't reported yet. They only have 105 guys in camp. There's 124 guys on the team, so he gets to report next week and then go from there. But he's been working and lifting, running all season or all summer, and we're excited for him.
Okay, now don't laugh when you hear this question. I intend this to be serious. Would Xavier officials ever consider installing a touchdown Jesus visible from Saints Field?
I don't know. You have to ask people a lot higher up on the totem pole than me to answer that one.
And I thought you'd say that. I'm just planting a subliminal seed here.
Okay.
Number four, would Xavier officials ever consider bringing Hall of Famer Kurt Warner back for a halftime recognition?
Oh, I think sure. Yeah, definitely they would consider it. So he's so busy, you know, hopefully he could work that out in his schedule and get back. That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great to see someday, though?
Oh, yeah, it'd be unbelievable.
Okay, here's our final one, and this is a throwout to Coach Jim O'Connell, your longtime defensive coordinator. Saints players' favorite Jim O'Connell saying.
That we can say on the radio.
That's why we're different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes to say that one after certain things that we do in practice.
I think that's an old Kopatich saying too, isn't it?
If
they don't score, we win.
There's a lot of TK saying, old Tom Kopatich sayings, but... you know, that would be the Jim O'Connell one right now. That's why we're different.
Yeah, and the competitive juices are still going with Coach O'Connell.
Oh, well, you know what? It's funny because we were just saying that to all of our kids the other day about how, you know, I'm up there in age now, Coach Jelinek and Jim O'Connell, he's getting up there a little bit, and it's like we see things almost more now that you know, we did when we were younger coaches. You just, you know, you may be slowing down physically, you may be slowing down a little bit in that regards, but it's like mentally, I'd like to think just as sharp and crisp, and you seem to see more than when you're younger, you know, the details. And you think, boy, these old guys, I can get away with stuff with these old guys. They won't notice stuff. They're so old. That ain't how it is. That's not how it is.
You've seen it all.
Yeah, and so that's a good and a bad thing, I guess, for those young kids.
It would be great to see Kurt Warner coming back. Of course, played at Regis, and to go into the Hall of Fame like he did, just fantastic. What a speech he gave, and it was just neat to see a lot of Cedar Rapidians in the crowd there. Neat to see Coach Breitbach front and center there. That was pretty cool.
That was really neat for Coach Breitbach. If there's a coaching legend in the city, in the state, then that's certainly him. And for him to get that kind of pub, I guess, or recognition on the big screen throughout all the world, I'm happy for him. He's such a good guy and a mentor to me also. He still comes around Xavier, and every time he does, I love chatting with him and talking about things. He gets it, and that's awesome. And Kurt Warner was a phenomenal story. You know, what more can you say about that?
Yep. So. Yep, very much so. Very much so. Well, Regina coming up here, and a couple more weeks of practice too, so that's the big thing.
Yep, that's, like Bill Belichick would say, on to 2017.
On to 2017, the next game coming up. All right, Dwayne, we look forward to seeing the Saints this year again. Hopefully a nice long run will be rewarded again.
Well, I hope so, but we'll take it game by game. And thanks to you and John for having me and all you guys do for high school sports. It's awesome.
Shout out to Hope and Sherry.
Yeah, if they're listening, a good shout out to them. Hope's actually coming to Xavier this year, so I can't remember. She might be at practice right now. So maybe it's just Sherry listening. Who knows? So, but thanks for doing that, John.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and have more of the Coach's Corner right after this here on KGYM.
A lead project manager is sought by Transamerica in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to manage legal and regulatory projects. A bachelor's degree in a related field or equivalent work experience is required. 10 years of experience in efficient reporting at all levels, monitoring progress, benchmark boosting, budgeting, governance meetings, value-add services, and understanding of PMO methodologies. 5 years of experience in process improvement. 5 years of experience leading strategic initiatives involving technical staff augmentation, interdependencies, IT vendors, or managing projects in the insurance domain. 5 years of experience in implementing processes and procedures to ensure that a program is prepared to mitigate threats and capitalize opportunities. Must have experience collaborating with attorneys from a compliance privacy perspective. Experience can be concurrent. Fax resume and cover letter to 844-802-8795. Reference requisition R2000-6687 in cover letter. All Transamerica companies are equal opportunity employers.
Back with you to wrap things up here in the Coach's Corner at 10:15. I hope you enjoyed our first edition of the football previews. And again, we'll have this up at KGYMradio.com. John, next week we talk Kennedy, Jefferson, Marion, and we get to see Paul James in black and red next week.
Well, that's going to be fun. I don't know if that'll be the love fest we had this morning, but good listening for our audience.
Yep, that'll be a lot of fun coming up next week on the Coach's Corner program. All right, we will get you back to ESPN programming coming up. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning with another edition of the Coach's Corner and our football previews right here on KGYM.
U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A+ rated with the BBB.